Hello and welcome to another episode of the David Hessian podcast. Today I am joined by Chase Tuning. Chase is a Virginia native, Army veteran, personal trainer, health coach, and the host of the amazing podcast Ever Forward Radio. I've been following Chase for a couple of years now after stumbling upon his Instagram a few years back, and I found great inspiration in the way Chase attacks life. Chase, welcome to the podcast.
David, thank you so much, man. What a great intro. Wow, it's been a couple of years. It's wild. Yeah.
As we spoke before, I found you while you were walking the streets of Dublin, and I seen you on Rob Lipset's story Instagram. So it's come full circle.
Yeah, Ireland's favorite fitness celebrity, right, man? That guy. Everywhere we went, we were only hanging out for a couple of hours, but I swear, like every 2 minutes, people were like, "Rob." Love that guy.
Yeah, he's well known around Ireland. So Chase, can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself, like where you came from, how you got to the position that you're in, and what you're doing now?
Yeah. So the full story, if anybody knows where Virginia is, I'm not sure if you have a lot of US listeners or not, but I'm from originally Virginia, this really, really small town. And I grew up in the small town, went to school in the small town. And then once time came to leave high school after graduating, and a lot of my friends were going off to college, I decided that I too wanted to leave the small town. I loved it, loved my family and upbringing, but I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to be yet when I grew up. If any of us really know what we want to do with our lives at 17 or 18. And so I decided, instead of kind of wallowing around for a little while, wasting time, wasting money, didn't really know what I wanted to study at college, if I wanted to go to college. And so I decided to kind of just follow in my family's footsteps, and I joined the military. My dad was in the Army. I also joined the Army. My uncle, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, like long family history. And so that's what I did. And then I went in, served my country for about 6 years. And once I got out, I went back home. Then I went to college. And I kind of had a little, you know, 6 years later, I had a little bit better idea what I wanted to be when I grew up. Still trying to figure that out now, 34 years old. And started studying exercise science. I, of course, was super active every day, all the time in the military. It's a really, really physically demanding, high-paced job. But I went through a string of injuries that really kind of forced me to look at fitness and nutrition and just daily living in a different way. And I needed help. So I went to school for it. I studied exercise science and then fell in love with it as a profession. And really went through after that, like every job you could imagine in the health, wellness, fitness space, personal trainer, group exercise instructor, ran this like outdoor boot camp company with a buddy of mine, did corporate wellness, wound up going back to school, grad school to get my master's in health promotion. And I thought that's what I was going to do. Yeah, I thought maybe one day I might open my own gym, but that was going to be the extent of it. But, you know, life had other plans. And then along the way, this whole social media, internet thing really began to boom, and people were able to start their own businesses and grow online and just, you know, have a really fulfilled life and a really fulfilled profession. And along the way, I began to kind of dip my toes in that water more and more. And now here we are, 2020. I've been self-employed for about 3 years now, going on, running my own coaching business and full-time podcaster. So I might have skipped a few things in the story, but that's kind of like the origin to where we are today, man.
Yeah, no, it's a great kind of abbreviation of a long life. So when you left the Army, how did you find kind of the fallout of going from so much like intense exercise? Because I can imagine it's training every day, because you have to be ready for war or ready for whatever. And how did you kind of deal with or was there even something to deal with coming off that and reintegrating to normal life?
Yeah. Good question. And so I guess the best way I can answer that is to say that I was really kind of forced into a buffer period. Unlike a lot of other people who leave the military, whether they retire after 20 years or their contract's up or whatever, it wasn't my choice. I got injured. I was training for a deployment. I was doing war games, basically. And in those war games, I got injured, tore my hamstring, really significantly injured my back, my hips, and then they snowballed into much bigger problems. I wound up having to have both of my hips completely reconstructed. Like my femurs were removed out of my body, reshaped, shortened, put back in. And then I've got two rods and pins in both of my hips to like keep me upright and mobile again, to keep the adjustments to my femur in place. And so that was almost a year and a half of my last, a year and a half of my last years in the military. And so I was yanked out of that life for a while. My daily demands, my daily physical demands were really nothing. I was just a patient. In fact, I got put into this medical hold unit where our only duty was to heal and to rehab and to go through that process. And then on the other side of that, if we got well enough to where we were deemed deployable again, we could be put back into our job, our unit, or maybe we could change jobs, you know, depending on, you know, how we were physically and mentally. But me, it was a no-go. I was deemed non-deployable because the nature of my injuries were so severe. And even after I had learned how to walk again and could walk again, it was too risky. So they deemed me non-deployable. I was actually medically retired from the Army because the rating that they gave me of my injuries and the disability at the time was too high to put me back into any job really in the military. So I guess to really directly answer your question there, I had already begun to kind of detach a little bit from that, but I knew that I didn't want to keep that. I knew what it was like to move well and feel well and all of these things of this life that I'd gotten used to. And even before that, I mean, I grew up playing sports. I grew up in the mountains of Virginia. I used to just run and play and do all of these things. And now I couldn't. But I didn't want to accept that for myself. So that's really why when I transitioned out, literally just a couple weeks after I signed out of the military, I enrolled in school and began to study the human body and enrolled into this exercise science program back in Virginia, and really began to really change how I evaluated daily physical activity, but also learn exercise, truly learn exercise and navigate around my injuries.
And as someone as active as you are, and I know you're massive on the mindset and kind of mental health side of things, did you find that was affected a lot by not being able to do physical activity for that time?
Yeah, I mean, talk about going stir crazy. I was completely removed from my day-to-day job. I was bedridden for weeks and weeks and was very immobilized for months and months. And I became stir crazy and I was at home all the time. And it really just changed my perspective on day-to-day living. But I really had to really, really watch what I was eating. I just was not burning hardly any calories anymore. I lost all my gains, bro. I was soft. You know, at that time I wasn't really, really super big into weightlifting, strength training, but I was just running and my endurance was through the roof because that's all you do in the military. I would strength train here and there, but not anything like I do now. And so I had to kind of just really, really, I think nutrition and like internal health and what you can do to keep your sanity and to keep your well-being outside of just always trying to focus on exercise, it allotted me that opportunity. And so instead of just being stuck really and, you know, accepting that, all right, I can't do anything, so I'm just going to wallow in misery. And, you know, I didn't want to gain a bunch of weight. I didn't want to just, you know, not be able to do anything. So I began to learn a lot about anatomy, physiology, and nutrition really. So the downtime that I was forced into from exercise really gave me a lot of uptime into nutrition.
It definitely gave you a great perspective on it by the sounds of it. So I must commend you for that. That kind of segues well into the next thing I want to ask. And what is kind of your current nutrition and training looking like at the moment? And to give a bit of context to it, what is it that your goal is? Because I'm very conscious of when I have people on here and I ask, oh, what do you eat like and train like? And they say, oh, I train 8 times a week and I eat 2,000 calories a day or 6,000 calories a day. It's like, it's all dependent on your goals. So just so that people don't go off and try and duplicate it without knowing why it is that you're doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've definitely been through every modality you can imagine. When I got out and I was physically capable of, you know, exercising again and getting my body moving, at the time, this was like 2000, I'll say 2011-ish, 2011, 2012 is when I really got back into the gym and would be doing anything considered, you know, regular exercise. I bodybuilding was kind of big at the time, you know, of these bro splits. And I, you know, moved back home, you know, I was back home in my home state. And so my brother was getting really active in training at the time, and our friends were at the time, and we were going to the same school. So a lot of things overlapped, and it was really helpful because we could all train together, hang out together, eat together. So I kind of really started off, you know, in the bodybuilding world, and then, you know, picked up powerlifting style training of just, you know, true heavy compound lifts, and then building, having fun accessory movements after that. But truly over the years, I've dabbled in everything. Don't judge me, but I did try CrossFit once. It's not for me. I had too much of that running nonsense craziness in the military. But I really, this day and age, it's just, I build all of my workouts and my training around still those compound movements. Am I pushing? Am I pulling? Am I squatting? Am I pressing? And staying heavy with those. For me, initial movement patterns look like compound movements, you know, really nothing higher than an 8 rep range. Honestly, I like to stick around like the 3 to 6. I'm a firm believer of the classic tried and true 5x5 program. So 5 sets, 5 reps, deadlifts, bench press, squat. I don't go that heavy anymore on my pressing, particularly overhead press. Last year I had a rotator cuff tear injury. So like as low reps or as heavy as I'll go on a pressing movement is really 8. That might even be pushing it. So I go higher volume, lower weight. And I just focus on that. And then after that, I kind of just hit all my accessories because I've been doing this for so long. You know, I'm the worst client ever. I will not adhere to a program. I might last a couple weeks. So for me, I just focus on, am I hitting that compound movement first and then doing some accessory fun stuff afterwards? And honestly, just paying attention to my body. You know, have I been sitting at my desk too long for the past couple of days and I'm kind of hunched over, so I need to really focus on pulling. I need to bring my shoulders back, open up my chest, you know, readjust my pattern, my posture, excuse me. What have I done? How am I feeling? How's my sleep? I literally just walk into the gym and I wait for it to speak to me, man. Like, all right, Jim, what do you want me to do today? Body, what do you want me to do today? And just get after it.
Yeah, that intuitive approach is definitely something you can incorporate when you have a training history like yours, I'd imagine, where you're into it for so long that it's just a habit that's never going to die, and pushing yourself is something that you do naturally, you know. For new people to the gym, maybe it's not as good of an idea. Might decide to take an easy way out and not get results. But yeah, I completely understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. And to answer your other question, the other nutrition stuff, I mean, over the years, that's changed as well. I mean, I used to heavily focus on, you know, if it fits your macros and, you know, all of that, like to the T, to the calorie. And that worked. But I don't want to do that anymore. Now, I still track here and there just because I found lately, just with life being so busy, I was actually under eating. I was under consuming calories. And so I pretty much very loosely will still track just to make sure I'm still hitting my total calories and protein amount. Right now I am counting calories and macros a little bit more meticulously because I do have a little bit of a different body composition goal in mind. I'll be heading to some tropical areas and warmer climates fairly soon. So I want to try to, you know, look like I actually fitness sometimes. But, you know, predominantly I just focus on quality whole foods first. But look, I'm a human being, man. I work out because most of the reason is because I love pizza and beer and a good, like, cool donut or cinnamon roll. But, you know, I focus on the kind of like, I'd say like the 80-20 rule, you know, good quality foods majority of the time, but, you know, indulge when I want to and have little rules for myself. You know, did I earnest today? Was I active today? Did I work out? What's the rest of my day or the weekend look like? And just try to keep, you know, inner dialogue going of my life and my training and my eating habits so that I can make the best decision for me right then and there.
Fantastic. And there's no, so you're saying there's no secret pill, there's no keto or paleo that's keeping you in shape.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Yeah. I mean, everything works for everybody until it doesn't. You know, I've tried it all. I've tried if it fits your macros. I've tried keto. I've tried everything. And I've really found that my body just works best off of paying attention to it. Over the years, when you do this long enough, you know, it'll let you know.
Yeah. I even seen today on you had a post up the best diet is the one that works for you or something along those lines. I seen a story today. So
yeah. You just got to give it enough time to really pay attention. Get enough time to see, does your body like it? Do you like it? Is it giving you progress? Is it, you know, holding the line? Our body is the greatest coach. We just sometimes fail to listen to it.
100%. Something else you mentioned there was that you focus a little bit on sleep. And I know you have a big pre and post sleep routine. Could you go a little bit into that, like the supplements you use and the precautions you take to help maximize your sleep, and what exactly you do to do that?
Oh yeah, sleep for me is king. Sleep is my number one. Over the past, I'd say like 1 to 2 years, sleep is my number one priority in my personal like wellness hierarchy. And I found that by kind of just process of elimination, I realized that when the sleep suffers, everything else suffers. And so if I can just build my day and my life and my training and my schedule around that, everything else benefits. And so for me, number one, like before I even get into any supplementation or anything like that, it's just getting to and maintaining a regular sleep schedule. So, I mean, now, you know, I am self-employed. I understand sometimes this isn't always a fair example of people who have, you know, to be at a job at a certain time or a certain place and commute and kids and family and all that stuff. But I always try to go to bed around the same time. And that's typically between 10 and 10:30 p.m. I'm in bed, maybe reading a book, maybe not, but I'm definitely not on my phone. So it's just maintaining a regular routine as much as possible. So same time to bed, same time to rise. And over time, that has allowed my body to naturally adjust. My circadian rhythm is pretty set in a very comfortable way. So I'm in bed between 10 and 10:30. I naturally wake up. Like, I haven't set an alarm clock unless I got a flight or something in a long, 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 long time, because my body will naturally just rise. It will naturally wake up between, I'll say like 6:45 to 7:30. Sometimes it's a little bit on the earlier side. If I don't need extra sleep, sometimes I might find myself going to 7:30, maybe 8 a.m. If I had like a heavy training day or I just need more sleep, need more recovery. And then that's really it. But other than that, about an hour to two before I want to be in bed, all the kind of common things that hopefully people know now is, you know, I'll turn down the lights in my apartment. So I will turn even some off. I use blue light blocking lenses if I'm watching TV or if I'm on the computer, or honestly, even just in general, about 2 hours before. Some key supplements that have really, really benefited me. A lot of people might know, like, chamomile tea is a great natural supplement if you like teas. Personally, I use a reishi concoction. Reishi is actually one of the most clinically studied superfood mushrooms in the world. It is incredible for a myriad of health benefits, but what it primarily does, a lot of people associate it with sleep. Now, it doesn't make you sleepy, it doesn't put you to sleep, but what it does, it actually is a natural cortisol suppressant, but not in like an extreme way. It just allows your body to kind of lower the levels of cortisol, really to kind of just like stop the production, because a lot of us are revving too high at the end of the day, and that's why you can't go to sleep. Because if cortisol is up, it has this kind of back and forth yin and yang relationship with melatonin. So if cortisol is running really high, your body will not begin to produce or produce enough melatonin to get you rested and relaxed and ready to go to sleep. So what reishi does, it naturally lowers cortisol levels, which is great for reducing stress, but it also will bring your mood down in a good way to allow melatonin to come up so that you can be more calm, be more relaxed, and slip into sleep. It's non-habit forming. I don't get groggy. I absolutely love it. So I use reishi a lot. Sometimes I'll make it into like a hot tea, or there's a hot cacao mix that I use with it. Or I've got another supplement if a capsule is more pertinent for me that time. Maybe I don't want to drink, or I just want to, you know, take the pill. I also use a reishi and magnesium and kind of adaptogen blend capsule. Those are really kind of the main supplements that I'll use. It's probably either reishi in various forms, reducing light, reducing screen time, and keeping that schedule. That's the best thing I can recommend.
Awesome. I'll have to try out the reishi. You'll have to send that on to me. I heard you talk about it before, and that's how I ended up trying the Four Sigmatic coffee, was through you as well.
Yeah. I use a lot of their products. Their coffee is amazing. The Lion's Mane coffee for waking up in the morning, for that Lion's Mane brain power. But their reishi hot cacao and their reishi elixir, shout out Four Sigmatic. That stuff is incredible. That's been a part of my ritual for going on like 4 years now.
That'll be the next one I have to try. The next thing I wanted to ask you about was, so we talked a little bit about how you were in the military, but when it came to leaving the military and going into kind of regular life, do you think that the discipline and structure that you had in the military helped you in life, or do you think it hindered your business, your lifestyle, your relationships? How do you think it affected the rest of your life?
Yeah, really good question. I mean, I think anybody who's in the military and liked it, because I mean, at the end of the day, it's a job and not everybody loves the job that they have for the time that they have it. I thoroughly enjoyed my time in. It had its pros, had its cons for sure, but I loved the vast majority of it. And a big component to the military is exactly what you said. It is discipline. It is structure. It is, you know, a support system. It is helping others. It's for a greater good. And so for those key areas, yeah, absolutely. It has helped me as a person, as a business owner now. To its core, I think what has stayed with me the most are the kind of the personality traits. We call them in the Army, the branch of the military that I was in the U.S. here, we have them, they're called our core beliefs. And they make up this acronym called leadership. And of course, if you know anything about the military, we love our acronyms because it helps us remember everything we're supposed to. So leadership stands for loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. Leadership. And I can't think of a better infrastructure to any business, whether in the product or service oriented business, whatever. Focusing on those, I think, will only always support you. And for me, the big one is always integrity. I always try to act out of integrity. I look for partnering with other people with integrity, because I think that's what helps the most, especially in a business owner perspective, is knowing who you can trust and who personally and professionally will act out of, you know, morality and ethics. I'm not saying we have to have the same religion or the same belief system, but just to our core, fundamental human principles of doing what's good, you know, universal good, I think has had the biggest carryover. But, you know, to kind of play devil's advocate to the other part of your question, sometimes I think it does kind of hinder because it is so ingrained in me as a human being and, you know, living this life of 6 years. And, you know, even before that, you know, I got a little bit of it from my father growing up, you know, the military lifestyle. It kind of holds an unfair cloud over some decisions that I make. It's, you know, I might sometimes have this expectation that someone should act in this type of way and they don't. And like, that's not fair to them, regardless of what someone else may say, this is right, this is wrong, you know, this is good, this is bad. It just, when you have something ingrained in you so much for so long, sometimes it's hard to not also have that same belief system, or you would think that someone else is going to act that way. And that's simply not true, especially not in the business world. People at the end of the day are out to, you know, cover their asses and save their business and do what they need to do. And sometimes that means acting out of integrity. And so sometimes it can be a little bit of an unfair belief system I bring to the table when working with other people, but it just means I got to do better homework, right? Make sure I'm getting into business and interacting and bringing people into my life that actually fall into alignment with that, right?
Definitely. It sounds like it's done more good than bad, at least.
Oh, absolutely. I would agree. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, military chase just wants to like step up and just yell at them. you know, I was in leadership roles and I was a staff sergeant in E6, which is, you know, like upper management, I guess you could describe it. And, you know, we had the luxury then sometimes where, of course, you never want to be this, you know, shitty leader and just always yelling and telling people what to do all the time. No, you want to empower them. You want to give them responsibilities and prove to themselves and the team. But also at the end of the day, if you outrank them, you literally can just tell them what to do. And they absolutely have to do it. And it doesn't work the same way in the civilian world, that's for sure.
No, definitely not. I know from school it never seemed to work on me. So, so I know we spoke a little bit about mindset, but I know it's something that you're massive on. And especially from following you the last couple of years, I know you're big on mental health. What kind of habits or systems have you built for yourself to help build a stronger mind and just to keep your mindset in check? Because I know it's something that you're pretty aware of and something that you look after.
Try to be. Yeah, I would definitely say it is much of a practice as anything. As disciplined and diligent and consistent as I try to be in my physical health through daily physical activity, through regular exercise, the same way that I am with my nutrition and my interpersonal skills and my relationship, like any area of our life that we want to at least maintain, ideally, you know, hopefully improve, it's a practice. It takes regular, consistent, intentional action. And the same thing with mindset, the same thing with mental health, the same thing with our mental, emotional, and spiritual sides to us as a human being, which a lot of us don't consider, or we underestimate, or we suppress. And I say that because all of those things I did for a very long time. And you reach a point in your life where it doesn't matter how clean you eat. It doesn't matter how to the gram you hit every single macro. It doesn't matter how perfect you finish every rep of every set of your program. You will reach a time and a place where those don't, maybe not, I shouldn't say don't matter, but they don't provide the fulfillment that you think that they would, because we're not honoring other components of our existence. We are human beings. We are walking, talking bags of biochemical bones and muscles and tissues, and we have an energy to us. We have a conscious, a subconscious, and we need to recognize that, and we need to create a practice to work out those components as well. And when I didn't do that, and I thought I had every other area of my life maintained and dialed in, I was doing all the things, something was missing, and just parts of my life just weren't what I wanted them to be. And I was just feeling some kind of way. And, you know, another part of my story with all of this is I lost my father, to a terminal illness when I was only 19 years old, and it really completely changed my world, and it derailed me in a lot of ways. And that was something that I suppressed. I did not allow myself to feel. I suppressed my emotions, my feelings for like 10 years, and it began to come out. It began to show up as panic attacks. It began to show up as causing problems in my relationships, in my family. It began to come out in a lot of ways that I thought I could control, but I couldn't. And so I didn't want to keep living that way. So I had to first acknowledge that and then look for some ways to build this into my daily practice. And so that means, you know, not as much as I used to, but still now, you know, journaling. That means carving time out of my day to just, whether it's a minute or an hour, to just like, can I be still with myself? Can I be comfortable in my own skin? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I thinking? What am I feeling that I don't even know that I'm thinking or feeling? You know, those kind of subconscious things. So journaling is huge. For me now, it really just looks like honoring my day first and foremost for me. I don't turn my phone on off of airplane mode for about the first couple hours that I'm awake. I like to step into my day, honor myself, take care of myself first so that I can best show up for the rest of the world. And so for me, my little ritual now for my mindset, my mental health, is I found this great book that I reread basically every day now for like 4 years, of Stoic quotes, Stoicism, like Marcus Aurelius, Epictetus, Seneca the Great, all of these great classical leaders of the old world that just have these examples of what it means, these principles, like I was saying earlier, of how to just be a good human being and how to face these things with a clear mind, or to develop a clear mind of daily living. Because look, not everyone's going to join the military, but let's be honest, we're human beings, and every day can be great, every day can suck. We're all going to come across obstacles. And so for me, I like to just take time and spend my time with these people, with these thought leaders on paper, whether I'm reading them, writing about them, thinking about them, to just kind of set the tone for the day. And so that's still, you know, it's part of my practice today. And then doing other things that honor like the parasympathetic nervous system, the yin to the yang, you know, like yoga, like meditation here and there. I don't really do it super regularly, but just finding quiet times, whether that's taking a walk by myself. These are all things that honor parts of our body and our consciousness and our mindset that we don't often think of, but are equally, if not, I would argue, more important to our overall health and wellness.
Amazing. I actually took a lot from that. Even hearing you talk about the kind of subconscious thoughts that you have that you don't even realize you are, and it is only when you sit down and actually think about them that you realize they're happening. Like sometimes you'll be thinking about, you consciously be thinking about good things, but somehow you don't feel that good. And when you really sit down and think about it, there's always something in the back of your mind. So
yeah, that's it.
I might have to start doing.
It's wild, man. Be prepared, because some things are going to come out that you had no idea.
Yeah, you have to face them eventually, I guess. So no time like the present.
Yes, yes.
The next thing I wanted to come on to was being a podcaster. I guess in a way you could consider it a little way of journaling. Especially when you're talking by yourself. But how has creating a podcast and kind of sharing a lot of your life with the world through that helped or hindered your life? I'd imagine it's had a great positive effect on your life, but how has it affected your life?
Yeah, I would say definitely for the most part, it has really been an incredible value add. At its core, it's really helped me stay accountable, not only to just projects and deadlines and interviews and business, but stay accountable to the principles that I first set out to maintain in my life and improve in my life. Because we can all do these things in privacy on our own. But once you make a declaration and you put yourself out there on TV, on the internet, on podcasts, on Instagram, on social media, whatever, it's a form of accountability. And you set the expectation with your audience very, very early on of, this is what I'm doing and this is why I'm doing it, or this is what I'm doing and along the journey, along the way, I'm figuring out why, you know, why I want to do this, who I am. And so it really holds me accountable to the things that I talk about. It helps me kind of walk the walk, you know, of all the talk that I'm talking. So in a way, that's, I think, been one of the biggest takeaways. But also when I started, you know, the podcast for me is definitely, it's what I do the most now. It's my biggest platform. It's the one that I love the most. And it's really what I do and spend most of my time on. When I first started it, it was to help me get better at my job. I'll never forget, I was stuck in my car driving around Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, for hours, stuck in traffic. Traffic there is horrendous. And someone recommended this podcast by this other health and fitness expert. And at that time, this was like 2014, I think. I had no idea what the hell a podcast was. I didn't even know that it was an app on my phone already. Like, no, you're a health coach, you know, you're in the fitness space, you should listen to this. And you know, it's amazing. And so I did, and I became hooked. And then I found all these other shows and I would listen. And then when I would get to my job, I was way better at my job. It was the best continuous education I had ever found, because it was real life. It was from people that I began to know, like, and trust. It was the most up-to-date information. And I would immediately get to work and work with clients and be better at my job, whether it was nutrition or exercise or a recommendation or a book, or I would just recommend to them, hey, go listen to this podcast. And so it became this great way to just help me help other people. And then I decided, well, I can listen to these people and learn a lot. How much more could I get if I was the one actually asking the questions? And so that I got the idea to like do my own show, and I got discouraged a lot. It was a lot of figuring stuff out, like how to edit microphones, how to set stuff up, how to interview. Am I even going to be good at interviewing? Who's going to want to listen to me? All these like self-sabotaging things that we go through when we want to start something new. So I spent about like four to six months figuring it all out, talking to people, getting some interviews. And then I finally launched it in January of 2017. Actually, January 22nd, 2017 was the memorial of my dad's passing. And it was really symbolic for me to not only to continue to be able to learn, but to ask and inquire and build up this information to educate and empower others, while at the same time honoring my father's legacy of like the original person, the OG, the original gangsta, of someone who helped instill these principles in me and, you know, constantly seeking to be a better person. And it was this mantra that my father had instilled in my family ever since we were kids of ever forward, ever forward, ever forward, no matter what, like keep moving forward. Things happen for us, not to us. And so I decided to honor him and honor that message. So on the memorial of his passing in 2017, it was the 12 year, I believe he passed 12 years prior. And, on that day, so I launched it as a way to honor him, that original intention. And then, you know, here we are 3+ years later, almost pushing 300 episodes past, you know, the 1.whatever million downloads and audience size. It's just been the most fulfilling thing. And I truly believe it's because I started it out of honoring him and that message and out of a place of service, you know, to continue to hold myself accountable to the things I was talking about, but also continuing my education and my experience and my quest and my journey and being able to share that with other people to help them on theirs as well.
Amazing. And it's actually for me to hear you say that you had some of the same struggles when starting your podcast as people like I would especially with the audience that you have. If you had
like 6 months, man. I was struggling.
And especially the imposter syndrome of being like, oh, who would want to listen to me? Because I think everyone has that, but we like to tell ourselves that people who have a successful podcast like yourself don't feel that way. But it is, it's everyone.
Oh, for sure. And now I think people are in a much better place because it's become so much more popular in both sides. Like people actually know what a podcast is and more people are starting podcasts, which is great. But when I had this idea back in, this was 2015, 16, early 2016, something like that. Everyone I told, I'd say like 9.9 out of 10 people I told had no idea what a podcast was. And I would tell them, and they'd be like, oh, like, so you're like, you're starting a radio show? I was like, no. Well, okay, fine, sure, yeah. It's like a radio show online that I just do myself. Wanting to do something that literally most people had no idea what it was pretty daunting. It's like, Chase, why would you be doing this? No one knows what it is. But I was just so amazed at how it had helped me as a person and as a professional that it was just the most logical next step. So if you're listening to this and you want to start one, absolutely do it. There are so many other resources out there now to help you get past that initial learning curve and to start way better than I did. I cringe every time I go back and decide to listen to my first like year, honestly, of the podcast. I'm like, oh my God, Chase, you suck.
That's the thing as well. Your first podcast is going to be shit, just like your first YouTube video, your first Instagram post, your first whatever.
Yeah, like your first workout's going to be shit. Yeah, the first rep you ever do in the gym, the first meal prep that you plan, like it's not going to be great. But like I was saying earlier, like all these things we take on, we sometimes take on too much too soon, or we take on thinking that we do it once and we're going to be great at it. No, like these are all practices. I've been podcasting for over 3 years. I'm still practicing. I've been fitnessing for like 10 years. It's still a practice. I've been a human being for 34 years. And every day, it is still a continuous practice.
100%. Couldn't agree more. Something as well you mentioned is kind of your ethos for life. It's the name of your podcast. It's the name of like your entire brand. And it's something that you preach about. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, the whole ever forward lifestyle and what that means for you?
Yeah, absolutely, man. So I kind of gave a little bit of background there. It was this phrase that my dad just said all the time growing up. He actually picked it up from his time in the military as well. So in the Army, at least here in the United States, every unit that you're assigned to, you have like your unit logo, right? It's called the crest. There's like a symbol, an image, and that represents your entire unit. And then along with that, there's a phrase. It's like a war cry or a mantra. And his first unit was the 116th Infantry Regiment out of Roanoke, Virginia. It was this National Guard unit, which is basically like part-time Army. I was active duty. It's full-time Army. And their creed, their saying was ever forward. And so he picked it up from his time in the military. And it's actually a phrase that goes way, way, way back. This unit, this group of soldiers, this group of militiamen, they had this phrase of ever forward technically before America was even a country. This dates back to before we even had an army. So it was way, way back, which I think is super cool. But he picked it up from there. He shared it with us as a family growing up. And then truly why it is so symbolic and special and close to our hearts, me and my entire family, is because of how we learned to live it. And we learned what it truly meant. We learned what it meant to live a life ever forward by watching a man die. By watching for 18 months our father wither away to this horrible, cruel illness called ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and just become a prisoner inside his own body. But for the days that he could talk, which there weren't many, it was ever forward, ever forward. There was never a complaint. He, as long as he could, smile and laugh, and he never once complained or cried out, why me, why God me, none of this. It was just the most unreal example of how you can be faced with the absolute worst situation in life. You're faced with death. Like, literally, he was just waiting to die any day, any moment. And it was ever forward, ever forward, ever forward. And so as a way, it's something for us to kind of pick up his torch and carry on. It's a way for us to always keep him with us as a daily reminder. It's a way for us to honor that legacy. And for me, it holds a little bit more special honor. It holds a little bit of something extra because of the military tie, because of my time in the service, his time in the service, and just to know that I can honor that hundreds and hundreds of year old tradition. But also it keeps me tethered to my father and be able to kind of just instill it in other people. And what I love about it most is that we have been able to share it with the world. And when, you know, my brother first introduced it as a brand, you know, kind of really shared it publicly with the world with Everforward Apparel, back in 2015, I believe. And we just saw the incredible feedback and the incredible support and just how people were not only able to listen to and love our story, but they were able to take those two words, take that message and make it their own. It's not like a hard cut, hey, this is how you live a life ever forward. You can only do this. You can't do that. It's this diet. It's this workout. It's this belief system. No, it's just recognizing that we don't have to accept what is before us. If things suck, we can work on making them better. If they are great, we can do these things, instill these practices to keep that greatness and to make it even greater. It's just a way that people have been able to take it and run with it and make it their own and improve their lives. For me, is the greatest thing in the world, because I know my dad would just be so proud and smiling down on me and my brother and my family. And now the reach that we've had with this message and this brand is into the tens of millions, truly, honestly. It still blows my mind. But it's more than that. It's knowing that these tens of millions of people now, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a t-shirt, whether it's a YouTube video, whatever it is, what it represents and what it represents for them.
Amazing. And it reminds you of the quote that when you refer to your father, that hardship doesn't build character, it reveals it. And yeah. Someone's able to keep smiling through something like that.
Yeah, I'll never forget. When I found out that he was terminal, when he told us, I had already been in the military for a little while. I think right around my first year, a little bit less than a year. And my dad and I were so close, like this crushed my world. And I actually tried to get out of the military. There's special paperwork you can apply for, and it's this process to where if you can prove that you have such a family hardship, they will let you out of your contract. And like, this is another thing that why Everford is so special to me and how I learned what it means to live it. Literally the last couple of days that he could walk, could talk, he flew out to where I was stationed at the time. And for several days, he just spent time with me, convincing me not to do this, convincing me that, yes, it's like, Chase, my life is ending, my story is ending, but yours is just beginning. You can't let the ending of my life, ending of my story, be the end of yours too. Because he knew, like, he loved the military. He knew what was in store for me. And I was a 19-year-old kid. Like, my life had just begun. And he didn't want his ending to be a hindrance to that. So he convinced me to stay in the Army. He convinced me and taught me, truly spent like 3-4 days showing me the example of what it means to live, you know, this ever forward mantra, this mindset, these principles.
That's such a strong message, and I'm glad I get to share this with a lot of people, with all my listeners. So thank you for sharing all of that.
Yeah, of course, man. Yeah, it took a long time. I would definitely not be able to talk about this stuff. But like I was saying earlier, you know, realizing that my mindset, my mental health were just as important or needed to become even more important practices. It's been finally good to work through that stuff and be able to share it, the full part of this story that I wasn't able to for a long time. And because it's so crucial to overall meaning and application.
Amazing. And I'm conscious of your time, so just a few more kind of quick fire questions.
Yeah, sure, man. Out.
So as we talked about, you're a podcaster. Who is the one person that you could have, if you could have them on your podcast, you would? The one person you haven't had on, we'll say, that you would love to have on.
Oh man, I have a hit list of quite a few people I really, really want. I would probably, someone that's been so influential to me over the years and who is a part of my day every day, that book I was telling you that I read of stoicism and quotes and philosophies from this author, Ryan Holiday. And a lot of the work that I've gone through is thanks to his works, his books, his philosophy. So Ryan Holiday, my current favorite living author, I would love to have him on the show, and I would probably lock him in the room for like 6 hours and just record like crazy.
Yes, I heard you mention stillness earlier, and I just thought of his book, Stillness is the Key. I was like, you must be a reader of his.
Oh yeah, Stillness is the Key, The Obstacle is the Way, Ego is the Enemy, Perennial Seller, Daily Stoic, Trust Me, I'm Lying. Like, all of his stuff on personal development is the core of his curriculum and materials. It's great, but he has a genius background in marketing. He was the marketing director for this huge American company here called American Apparel. And I mean, he definitely knows how to build that audience of 1,000 true fans and just deliver value based on principles, which is what I love.
I didn't even know that about him.
Oh yeah. He's a well-diversed man. He's an international man of mystery.
Yeah. The next one is still on podcast, but what is your favorite podcast or book that you recommend to everyone?
That's a good question. I would usually answer that question. The number one book I would recommend to every human being is Ryan Holiday's Ego is the Enemy. I think every person should read that. I actually reread it every year, pretty much. It's a short read, pretty quick read. I really, really like that book. And a podcast I would recommend is, I really like this one called The One Thing, which also is a wildly popular, successful book. But their podcast, it's all about, and you don't need to be a business owner. You can work for yourself, you can work for somebody else, but just in life and in business, this podcast continues to just give me so much value. It's called The One Thing Podcast. And it's all about, you know, really, really getting better at strategic and effective goal setting and knowing what's a realistic goal, how to measure it, how to set it. It's hands down amazing. Their whole concept is to help you figure out the one thing that you need to do in life and in business so that everything else becomes completely unnecessary or made a lot easier. And I think every human being could benefit from that. I don't know about you, man.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I remember listening to a podcast by the author of that. I can't remember his name. I'm wondering, is it the same person who runs the podcast?
No. So the author, their co-authors, written by Jay Papasan and Gary Keller. Gary Keller of Keller Williams Realty, the world's largest real estate group. But the guy who kind of runs The One Thing as a brand and the host of their podcast, his name is Jeff Woods. Yeah, that's him. He's been on Everford Radio twice now. And yeah, he hosts their show and does all The One Thing content.
Amazing. I'll have to go back and give that a listen. What is one piece of advice that you would give to your 20-year-old self? Could you go back?
Oh, yeah. I've been asked this before, and especially at 20 years old, because that's right shortly after I lost my dad, and I was just getting started in my career as a young soldier. I would just tell myself to like feel, because that's what I didn't do. I suppressed everything. I bottled everything up. And whether this is an excuse or legitimate or not, I say that I didn't really have the luxury to feel at the time, because when you're in the military, your job is very, 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 very demanding. Literally, sometimes your life and or the lives of others depend on you being able to do your job and execute your job and show up as promised. And so I use that as an excuse, but I wish that I would go back to my 20-year-old self and say, like, Chase, it's okay to feel. It's okay to, like, properly grieve, go through what you need to do, get the help that you need, like, real, consistent mental health help. And because if I was able to do that then, you know, the 10, 12-year journey that I went on after that, I feel would have been made a lot better. It would have been made a lot easier. And yeah, just feel. Not to get too much on a tangent, but just, you know, it's okay to feel things, good, bad, and the ugly, and just allow them to just work themselves out naturally, but get help when and where you need it.
I couldn't agree more. And the last one before we'll finish out is, we talked a little bit about social media, and I think it's one of those things that it can be the best thing in the world if used correctly, or it can be the worst thing ever. So who is it that you consume the most on social media, and who are the people that you recommend others go and follow in order to make social media a positive thing in your life and not a negative?
Yeah, really good question. You know, another thing that the one thing talks about a lot of is, you know, we are the average of the five people we're around the most. And you don't need to be hanging out with five people in real life every day. I think here in 2020, the modern digital age, we can be the average of the five people that we follow the most, that we engage the most, that we like their pictures the most, watch their stories, watch their YouTube videos. And so just be very conscious that just because you're not around this person in real life, what they say, how they say it, who they are with, what they do, it all influences you passively or actively. So just, I'll kind of prelude that by saying, you know, just be mindful of that. But I don't, I'm kind of like, I'm hesitant to like say, hey, go follow this person, because like, what if like Chase, this person sucks? I'll answer it like this. I would say just take an inventory of the people that you already follow on social media, the podcasts you listen to, the YouTube channel you watch, and just like with a little bit more awareness. And before you go on to their YouTube channel, before you hop on their feed on Instagram, just ask yourself this question. Why do I follow them? What problem do they solve in my life? Or what fulfillment do they give me? What value do they deliver to me? And if you struggle to answer that question fairly quickly, then, I mean, who knows? It might just be sheer entertainment value and it's just a way to decompress. But I don't know about you, but I would rather my time give me fulfillment as kind of an ROI. So if you can ask yourself that question and you don't get an answer, then I think it might be time to move on and find somebody else to follow, or at least follow more often.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right with that. Just having the self-awareness to realize, am I lying to myself saying this is helpful, or am I using it as an escape?
Yeah.
And also, go follow Chase.
Yeah, I appreciate that for sure. But, you know, but also, like, I mean, sometimes, again, with social media as an example, we follow people because, like, they have what we think we want. Or we follow them because it's just, like, this dream, right? Or we think, oh, look at this lifestyle. Look at what they can do. Look at this, their version of success. And, you know, that can be a slippery slope into self-loathing. It can be a slippery slope into comparison syndrome. Or it can be a great motivator. You can look at these people as, you know, or achieving and doing all these cool things as a great way for you to stay motivated and move the needle and move ever forward in your life. But just be mindful of it. You know, be mindful. Are they delivering me value, or is it something else? And like I said, I think if you can't answer that question yourself pretty quickly after asking it, then yeah, reevaluate and maybe move on.
Yeah, completely. I think that's definitely the way to go about it. Chase, I can't thank you enough for your time. Can you tell everyone where is the best place to find you, your podcast, your Instagram handle? Where is the best place to find most of your content?
Yeah, David, thank you so much, man. It's been great being on here. I appreciate your time as well. Great questions, great interviewer. I'm pretty much living, breathing on Instagram. You can find me at Chase_tuning. CHASE_CHEWNING. And if I'm not there, I'm podcasting. And that's on Ever Forward Radio, or everywhere you listen to audio, everywhere you listen to podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Overcast, you know, all the above.
Amazing. And that will all be linked in the bio as well, or in the description.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much again, Chase.